Chapter 115. Tire and Wheel Service. Tire service and proper inflation. Need for service. Proper tire service is extremely important for the safe operation of any vehicle. Premature wear can often be avoided by checking and performing routine service, such as frequent rotation and monthly inflation checks. Avoid overloading the vehicle and have any leaks repaired as soon as possible. See Figure 115-1. Tire inflation pressure. Tires should always be inflated to the pressure indicated on the driver's door or pillar sticker. Tires should be checked when cold, before the vehicle has been driven, because driving on tires increases the temperature and therefore the pressure of the tires. Proper tire inflation is important for the following reasons. Inflation pressure carries the load of the vehicle. If the pressure is low, the load capacity of the tire is decreased. See Figure 115-2. Inflation pressure varies with temperature. Tires lose 1 psi for every 10 degree drop in temperature. This means that as the temperatures and seasons change, so does the inflation pressure inside the tires. For example, if tires were inflated to 35 psi on the first day of summer, June 21, when the temperature was 90 degrees Fahrenheit, or 32 degrees Celsius, then the following pressures would occur, assuming no air loss at all. Summer, June 21, 90 degrees Fahrenheit is 35 psi. Fall, September 21, 70 degrees Fahrenheit is 33 psi. Winter, December 21, 30 degrees Fahrenheit is 29 psi. And spring, March 21, 60 degrees Fahrenheit is 32 psi. Also, it is normal for a tire to lose 1 psi per month just through normal leakage that occurs in any tire. Therefore, it is very important to check and correct inflation pressures regularly. Tire inflation affects fuel economy. A drop in inflation pressure from 30 to 23 psi can result in a drop of fuel economy from 20 miles per gallon to 18 miles per gallon. See Figure 115-3. Tire inflation affects tire life. Even a slight drop in air pressure can have a major effect on the life of a tire. If, for example, the inflation pressure dropped 10 psi, the life of the tire would be reduced by 40%. See Figure 115-4. The Tread Act specifies that the driver be notified if the inflation of a tire drops by 25%. However, 25% represents the loss of air pressure of about 8 psi. A drop of 8 psi means an approximate 2 miles per gallon decrease in fuel economy as well as about a 25% reduction in tread wear. Refer to Figure 115-1. Using soapy water from a spray bottle is an easy method to find the location of an air leak from a tire. Refer to Figure 115-2. Chart showing the relationship between tire inflation pressure and load capacity of the tire. Refer to Figure 115-3. Note that a drop in inflation pressure has a major effect on fuel economy. Refer to Figure 115-4. Note that if a tire is underinflated by 5 psi, the life expectancy is reduced by 20% and by about 40% if the inflation pressure is less than specified by 10 psi. Frequently asked question. What is a temporary mobility kit? A temporary mobility kit is a system to inflate a flat tire supplied by the vehicle manufacturer instead of a spare tire. A temporary mobility kit can include an electric compressor powered by the cigarette lighter and a kit of stop leak. See Figure 115-5. And an aerosol spray can that provides inflation and sealer. See Figure 115-6. Either type can be found in many vehicles because such devices save weight, increase trunk space, and cost less than a conventional spare tire and jack. However, these kits are designed to be a temporary repair only because the cause of the low tire was never determined. If the tire appears to be fixed, many vehicle owners may think that the tire has been repaired. However, the tire should be carefully inspected inside and out for damage and properly repaired. Refer to Figure 115-5. A temporary inflation pump that uses 12 volts from the cigarette lighter to inflate the tire. Refer to Figure 115-6. Many vehicle manufacturers include an aerosol can of sealer on vehicles that are not equipped with a conventional spare tire. Nitrogen inflation. Definition. Air contains about 78% nitrogen, 21% oxygen, and 1% other gases. When tires are inflated using air, oxygen as well as some moisture is included. Some shops recommend and inflate tires using nitrogen instead of using compressed air. Reasons to use nitrogen. The reasons include: The nitrogen molecule is slightly larger than the oxygen molecule, so the tire will lose pressure faster if air is used instead of nitrogen. Compressed nitrogen contains less moisture than compressed air. When the tire heats up, moisture in the tire vaporizes and expands, causing the pressure inside the tire to increase. Even small changes in tire pressure can noticeably affect the handling of the vehicle. Race teams use nitrogen because they come to the track with a cylinder of nitrogen to power the air tools. Race teams also have more control over how much the pressure will increase when the tires heat up, because nitrogen is less likely to change pressure with temperature change. Some oxygen in the tires could, over a long period of time, cause the oxidation of the inner liner of the tire and the corrosion of the wheel. Many shops use green valve caps when they fill the tires with nitrogen. See Figure 115-7. Refer to Figure 115-7. Most shops that use nitrogen inflation install a green tire valve cap to let others know that nitrogen, rather than air, has been used to inflate the tire. Tech tip: fine-tune handling with tire pressure changes. The handling of a vehicle can be changed by changing tire pressures between the front and rear tires. Understeer: a term used to describe how a vehicle handles when cornering, where additional steering input is needed to maintain the corner, or resisting turning into a corner. This is normal handling for most vehicles. Oversteer: a term used to describe handling where correction while cornering is often necessary because the rear tires lose traction before the front tires. Caution: do not exceed the maximum inflation pressure as imprinted on the tire sidewall. Tire inspection. Visual inspection. All tires should be carefully inspected for faults in the tire itself or for signs that something may be wrong with the steering or suspension systems of the vehicle. Check all tires for the following: excessive wear. See Figure 115-8. Sidewall faults. See Figure 115-9. Underinflation, which shows as wear on both the inside and outside edges of the tread. Overinflation, which shows as excessive wear in the center of the tread. And wear on the inner or outer part of the tire only, which usually indicates alignment problem. See Figure 115-10. Refer to Figure 115-8. Excessively worn tire showing the belt material on the inside edge. This tire requires replacement. Refer to Figure 115-9. A bulge in a tire is a result of either an injury to the sidewall, such as contact with a curb, or an internal fault in the tire. This tire requires replacement. Refer to Figure 115-10. Wear on the outside shoulder only is an indication of an alignment problem. Tread depth. Tread depth should always be measured when inspecting tires and the results recorded on the work order. Typical tread depth in the meaning includes: new tires equals 11/32 of an inch, 6/32 of an inch, or more. No need to replace the tire. 4/32 to 5/32 of an inch. Consider replacement. And 3/32 of an inch or less. Replace. 2/32 of an inch is the legal limit. See Figure 115-11. Refer to Figure 115-11. A display at a Lexus dealer used to show customers a visual representation of what a tire looks like at various tread depth amounts. This display helps vehicle owners understand tire tread depth measurements. Tech tip: stop and inform the customer. If a lug nut is hard to turn when removing a wheel, stop. Inform the customer before proceeding because there may be an issue with damaged or corroded wheel studs. If a wheel stud breaks, the service technician is often blamed and the shop may be responsible for the repair. By informing the customer, this issue is fully documented and the customer will have a say whether or not to proceed with a wheel service. Wheel removal and installation. Lug nuts. When removing lug nuts, notice the amount of force needed to remove the nuts. If a wrench or impact wrench is needed to unscrew the nuts, the threads are damaged and should be repaired or the stud replaced. Always start wheel lug nuts by hand. Be certain that all wheel nut threads have been engaged at least 3 threads before tightening the nut with a wrench or impact. Lug nut torque. For wheel mounting torque, make certain that the wheel studs are clean and dry, and torque to the manufacturer's specifications. Caution: most manufacturers warn that the wheel studs should not be oiled or lugubrated with grease. This can cause the wheel lug nuts to loosen while driving. Always follow the vehicle manufacturer's recommended service procedures. Refer to Figure 115-12. Always tighten wheel lug nuts, or studs, in a star pattern to ensure even pressure on the axle flange, brake rotors or drums, and the wheel itself. Refer to Figure 115-13. Most manufacturers recommend using hand tools rather than an air impact wrench to remove and install Loctite plug nuts to prevent damage. If either the key or the nut is damaged, the nut may be very difficult to remove. Tightening sequence. Always tighten lug nuts gradually in the proper sequence, star pattern, tighten one nut, skip one, and tighten the next nut. This helps prevent warping the brake drums or rotors, or bending a wheel. See Figure 115-12. Many factory installed and aftermarket wheels use anti-theft wheel lug nuts, usually on only one wheel stud. When removing or installing a locked lug nut, be sure the key is held square to the lug nut to prevent damaging either the nut or the key. See Figure 115-13. Tightening torque. All vehicle manufacturers recommend that the lug nuts be tightened to factory specifications using a torque wrench. To properly use a torque wrench to tighten wheel lug nuts, perform the following steps. Step 1. Check service information for the specified torque for the lug nuts on the vehicle being serviced. For most passenger vehicles, this torque is usually 80 to 100 pounds-foot. Step 2. With the vehicle raised to a good working height, place the wheel tire assembly over the lug studs. Step 3. Start all lug nuts by hand at least 3 threads to help assure that the threads are not damaged or cross-threaded, which can affect the tightening torque. Step 4. Snug the lug nuts in a star pattern using a ratchet and socket or a battery-powered impact set to a light torque. Snug the lug nuts in a star pattern, snug one, skip one, then snug another. This method helps ensure that the wheel is installed straight onto the hub. Step 5. Lower the vehicle to the ground. Step 6. Set the torque wrench to the specified torque. This is usually achieved on a clicker-type torque wrench by twisting the end of the handle until the specified torque setting is reached and then the lock is set to prevent it from changing. Step 7. Using the torque wrench with the correct socket, slowly and gently tighten the lug nuts. Do not jerk or move the torque wrench rapidly, as this will affect the torque applied to the lug nuts. The torque wrench will click when the wrench reaches the preset to tightening torque. When the click occurs, release the force on the torque wrench. Another click will be heard when the torque is relieved. Step 8. Double check that all lug nuts are correctly tightened. Step 9. When finished, set the torque setting on the torque wrench to 0 to keep pressure off the internal spring when it is stored. This helps prevent inaccurate torque readings the next time it is used. See Figure 115-14. Whenever you install brand new aluminum wheels, retorque the wheels after the first 25 miles. The soft aluminum often compresses slightly, loosening the torque on the wheels. The use of torque-absorbing adapters, torque sticks, on lug nuts with an air impact wrench properly set has proved to give satisfactory results, as long as the specified air pressure is used and that they are used according to the torque-absorbing instructions. See Figure 115-15. If the exact torque value is not available, see Chart 115-1 as a guide for the usual value based on the size, diameter, of the lug studs. Refer to Figure 115-14. A torque wrench being used to tighten lug nuts on a pickup truck. Refer to Figure 115-15. A torque limiting adapter, torque stick, used with an air impact wrench still requires care to prevent over-tightening. The air pressure to the air impact should be limited to 125 psi, 860 kilopascals, in most cases, and the proper adapter must be selected for the vehicle being serviced. The torque adapter absorbs any torque beyond its designed rating. Most vehicle manufacturers recommend that final tightening be performed using a torque wrench. Refer to Chart 115-1. Typical lug nut torque based on the diameter of the wheel stud. Case study. I thought the lug nuts were tight. Proper wheel nut torque is critical, as one technician discovered when a customer returned complaining of a lot of noise from the right rear wheel. The lug, wheel, nuts had loosened and ruined the wheel. See Figure 115-16. Caution, most vehicle manufacturers also specify that the wheel studs and nuts should not be lubricated with oil or grease. The use of a lubricant on the threads could cause the lug nuts to loosen. The summary. The complaint. Customer complained of a lot of noise from the rear of the vehicle after a routine tire rotation. The cause, the service technician got distracted when installing the wheels during a tire rotation and forgot to properly torque the lug nuts. The correct EO, a new wheel was used and the tire mounted and balanced and properly installed. The technician learned to always keep focused on the job being performed. Refer to Figure 115-16. This wheel was damaged because the lug nuts were not properly torqued. Tech tip. All-wheel drive tire concerns. It is very important that all wheel drive vehicles be equipped with tires that are all the same outside diameter. If, for example, the vehicle has 20,000 miles and the tires are half worn, all of the tires should be replaced in the event of a problem requiring replacement of only one tire. Most vehicle manufacturers specify that all tires must be within 2/32 of an inch of tread depth without causing a constant strain on the drivetrain. Tire rotation. Purpose. Tire rotation is essential to ensure long life and even tire wear. It is important to rotate each tire to another location. Some rear-wheel drive vehicles, for example, may show premature tire wear on the front tires. The wear usually starts on the outer tread row. It usually appears as a front-to-back, high and low, wear pattern on individual tread blocks. These blocks of tread rubber are deformed during cornering, stopping, and turning. This type of tread block wear can cause tire noise and/or tire roughness. While some shoulder wear on front tires is normal, it can be reduced by proper inflation, alignment, and tire rotation. Methods for best results: tires should be rotated every 6,000 miles or every 6 months. See Figure 115-17 for suggested methods of rotation, such as the modified X. Note: radial tires can cause a radial pull due to their construction. If wheel alignment is correct, attempt to correct a pull by rotating the tires front to rear or, if necessary, side to side. Refer to Figure 115-17. The method most often recommended is the modified X method. In this method, each tire eventually is used at each of the four wheel locations. An easy way to remember the sequence, whether front wheel drive or rear wheel drive, is to say to yourself, "Drive wheels straight, cross the non-drive wheels." Radial runout. White check. Even though a tire has no visible faults, it can be the cause of vibration. If vibration is felt above 45 miles per hour, regardless of the engine load, the cause is usually due to an out of balance or a defective out of run tire. Both of these problems cause a tramp, which is an up and down type vibration. If the vibration is seen in the hood of the vehicle or felt in the steering wheel, then the problem is usually the front tires. If the vibration is felt throughout the entire vehicle or in the seat of your pants, then the rear tires, or drive shaft, in rear wheel drive vehicles, are the problem. Refer to Figure 115-18. A tire runout gauge being used to measure the radial runout of a tire. Refer to Figure 115-19. To check wheel radial runout, the dial indicator plunger tip rides on a horizontal surface of the wheel, such as the bead seat. Checking radial runout. This can be checked by using a runout gauge. See Figures 115-18 and 115-19. To check radial runout, checking for out of round and lateral runout, checking for side-to-side movement, perform the following steps. Step 1. Raise the vehicle so that the tires are off the ground approximately 2 inches, or 5 centimeters. Step 2. Place the runout gauge against the tread of the tire in the center of the tread and, while rotating the tire, observe the gauge reading. Step 3. Note that maximum radial runout should be less than 0.060 inch, 1.5 millimeters. Little, if any, tramp will be noticed with less than 0.030 of an inch, or 0.8 millimeters, runout. If the reading is over 0.125 inch, 3.2 millimeters, replacement of the tire is required. Step 4. Check all four tires. Correcting radial runout. Excessive radial runout may be corrected by one of several methods. Method number 1. Try relocating the wheel on the mounting studs. Mark one stud and remount the wheel two studs away from its original position. Excessive wheel hole and/or stud tolerance may be the cause. If the radial runout is now satisfactory, remark the stud and wheel to prevent a future occurrence of the problem. Method number 2. Remount the tire on the wheel 180 degrees from its original location. This can solve a runout problem, especially if the tire was not match mounted to the wheel originally. Method number 3. If runout is still excessive, remove the tire from the wheel and check the runout of the wheel. If the wheel is within 0.035 of an inch, or 0.9 millimeters, yet the runout of the tire wheel assembly is excessive, the problem has to be a defective tire and it should be replaced. Sometimes a problem within the tire itself can cause a vibration, and yet not show up as being out of round when tested for radial runout. A condition called radial force variation can cause a vibration even if correctly balanced. Many tire balancers are equipped with a roller that is pressed against the tread of the tire to measure radial force variations. Follow the instructions as shown on the balancer display to correct for excessive radial force variations. Refer to Figure 115-20. To check lateral runout, the dial indicator plunger tip rides on a vertical surface of the wheel, such as the wheel flange. Lateral runout. Why check? A possible problem that tires can cause is a type of vibration called shimmy, which is the rapid back and forth motion transmitted through the steering linkage to the steering wheel. Excessive lateral runout is usually noticeable by the driver of the vehicle as a side-to-side vibration, especially at low speeds between 5 and 45 miles per hour, or 8 and 72 kilometers per hour. Shimmy can be caused by an internal defect of the tire or a bent wheel. Checking lateral runout. This can be checked by using a runout gauge on the side of the tire or wheel. Place the runout gauge against the side of the tire and rotate the wheel. Observe the readings. Most manufacturers specify a maximum lateral runout of 0.035 inch, 0.9 millimeters, for alloy wheels and 0.045 of an inch, or 1.1 millimeters, for steel wheels. See figures 115-20 and 115-21. Refer to figure 115-21. The most accurate method of measuring wheel runout is to dismantle the tire and take dial indicator readings on the inside of the wheel rim. Correcting lateral runout. Excessive lateral runout may be corrected by one of several methods. Method number 1. Retorque the wheel in the proper star pattern to the specified torque. Unequal or uneven wheel torque can cause excessive lateral runout. Method number 2. Remove the wheel and inspect the wheel mounting flange for corrosion or any other reason that could prevent the wheel from seating flat against the brake rotor or drum surface. Method number 3. Check the condition of the wheel or axle bearings. Looseness in the bearings can cause the wheel to wobble. Tire replacement. Removing wheel tire assembly. When removing a wheel from a vehicle for service, perform the following steps. Step 1. Check the operation of the tire pressure monitoring system, abbreviated TPMS, sensor using a handheld tester before removing the wheel so the customer can be warned about a defective sensor before the wheels are removed from the vehicle. Step 2. Make certain that the wheel has a good, clean metal-to-metal contact with the brake drum or rotor. Grease, oil, or dirt between these two surfaces could cause the wheel lug nuts to loosen while driving. Tech tip. Spin the tires. When performing a vehicle inspection and the vehicle has been hoisted on a frame type lift, check the tires by rotating them by hand. The tires on the non-drive wheels should spin freely. On front-wheel drive vehicles, rear wheels should rotate easily. On rear-wheel drive vehicles, front wheels should rotate easily. On all-wheel drive vehicles, all four wheels may require effort to rotate. What to look for? When rotating the wheels, look at the tires from the front or rear and check that the tread of the tires does not change or look as if the tread is moving inward or outward. If the tread is moving, this indicates an internal fault with the tire and it should be replaced. This type of fault can cause a vibration even though the tire/wheel assembly has been correctly balanced. Look from the side of the vehicle as the wheel/tire assembly is being rotated. Look carefully at the tread of the tire and see if the tire is round. If the tire is out of round, the tread will appear to move up and down as the tire is being rotated. Tech tip. Think like a wheel. When mounting directional tires, keep in mind which direction the wheels will be rotating when the vehicle is moving forward. When looking at the right side of the vehicle, the wheels will be rotating in a clockwise direction. When looking at the left side of the vehicle, the wheels will be rotating counterclockwise. Tire removal from the wheel. Tire removal from a wheel procedure includes the following steps. Step 1. Before the tire can be removed from the wheel, the air must be removed by removing the valve core. Removing the valve core allows the air to escape. Step 2. After the air has been removed from the tire, the beads are broken from both sides. Use caution when working on a wheel that has TPMS so as to not harm the sensor. Position the valve stem 90 degrees away from the bead breaker shovel to protect the sensor. Step 3. Remove the tire from the rim following the tire machine instructions for proper use. Refer to Figure 115-22. Cleaning the bead seat of an alloy wheel using an abrasive pad. Tech tip. Dispose of old tires properly. Old tires cannot be thrown out in the trash but instead must be disposed of properly. Tires cannot be buried because they tend to come to the surface. They also trap and hold water, which can be a breeding ground for mosquitoes. Used tires should be sent to a local or regional recycling center where the tires will be ground up and used in asphalt paving or other industrial uses. Because there is often a charge to dispose of old tires, it is best to warn the customer of the disposal fee. Installing new tires. Step 1. Clean the wheel flange, seat bead, of any dirt, scale, corrosion, or loose or flaked rubber buildup prior to mounting the tire to ensure of a proper seal. See Figure 115-22. Step 2. Install the tire pressure monitoring system in the specified position. See Figure 115-23. Step 3. Many tires have been marked with a paint dot or sticker. See Figure 115-24. This mark represents the largest diameter, high point, and/or stiffest portion of the tire. This variation is due to the overlapping of carcass and belt fabric layers, as well as tread and sidewall rubber splices. The tire should be mounted to the rim with this mark lined up with the valve stem. The valve stem hole is typically drilled at the smallest diameter, low point, of the wheel. The major splice is usually at the largest diameter of the tire. Mount the tires on the rim with the valve stem matched to, lined up next to, the mark on the tire or with the major splice. This is called match mounting. Step 4. Check for directional and asymmetric tires. Directional tires have the direction of rotation arrow on the sidewall of the tire. Asymmetric tires have sidewall lettering indicating which side of the tire has to face outward. Directional and asymmetric tires have side facing outwards and a rotation arrow showing the direction of rotation when the vehicle is traveling forward. See Figure 115-25. Caution, always check the rim size. For example, simply by looking, it is hard to distinguish a 16-inch wheel from a 16.5-inch wheel used on some older trucks. The rim size is marked on the sidewall of the tire, and the rim's diameter and width are stamped somewhere on the wheel. See Figure 115-26. Step 5. When mounting new tires, use only special lubricants such as rendered, odorless, animal fat or rubber lubricant to help prevent tire rotation on the rim. This rubber lube is a water-based soap product that is slippery when wet, coefficient of friction when less than 0.3, and acts almost as an adhesive when dry, coefficient of friction when dry of over 0.5 for natural products and over 1.0 for synthetic products. See Figure 115-27. Step 6. Inflate the tire but never use more than 40 psi, 275 kilopascals, to seat a tire bead. Note, many experts recommend that when a new tire is installed, the vehicle should be driven at less than 50 miles per hour, 80 kilometers per hour, for the first 50 miles, 80 kilometers, to allow the tires to adhere to the rim. During this break-in period, the rubber lube used to mount the tire is drying and the tire is becoming fully seated on the rim. By avoiding high speeds, rapid acceleration, and fast braking, the driver is helping to prevent the tire from rotating on the rim. Refer to Figure 115-23. When installing a tire pressure monitoring system sensor, be sure that the flat part of the sensor is parallel to the center section of the rim. Refer to Figure 115-24. Many new tires have painted dots placed there at the tire manufacturer. Yellow dot indicates the light, static, balance point of the tire. Red dot indicates the radial force variation first harmonic maximum. If a tire has both red and yellow dots, the red dot has priority, so ignore the yellow dot. Match the yellow dot to the wheel valve stem if no red dot. Just remember red rules. If any other color of dot is seen, ignore them as they are used for factory purposes only. Refer to Figure 115-25. Always check the wording on tires and install them correctly to ensure that the tire performs as designed. Refer to Figure 115-26. Note the difference in the shape of the rim contour of the 16-inch and 16.5-inch diameter wheels. While it is possible to mount a 16-inch tire on a 16.5-inch rim, it cannot be inflated enough to seat against the rim flange. If an attempt is made to seat the tire bead by overinflating, over 40 psi, the tire bead can break, resulting in an explosive force that could cause serious injury or death. Refer to Figure 115-27. Rendered, odorless, animal fat is recommended by some manufacturers of tire changing equipment for use as a rubber lubricant. Refer to Figure 115-28. A wheel balancer detects heavy spots on the wheel and tire, and indicates where to place weight to offset both static and dynamic imbalance. Tire balancing. Purpose. Proper tire balance is important for tire life, ride comfort, and safety. Tire balancing is needed because of the lack of uniform weight and stiffness, due to splices, and a combination of wheel runout and tire runout. While balancing a tire can compensate for most of these conditions, if a tire or wheel is excessively out of round or bent, then replacement of the wheel or tire is required. Static balance. The term static balance means that the weight mass is evenly distributed around the axis of rotation. For example, if a wheel is spun and stops at different places with each spin, then the tire is statically balanced. If the static balance is not correct, wheel tramp type, vertical up and down shake, vibration and uneven tire wear can result. Dynamic balance. The term dynamic balance means that the centerline of weight mass is in the same plane as the centerline of the wheel. See Figure 115-28. Dynamic balance must be checked while the tire and the wheel are rotated to determine side to side as well as up and down out of balance. Incorrect dynamic balance causes shimmy. Shimmy type vibration causes the steering wheel to shake from side to side. Computer tire balance machines balance tires for both static and dynamic balance at the same time. Pre-balance checks. Before attempting to balance any tire, the following should be checked and corrected to ensure good tire balance. Number 1. Check the wheel bearing adjustment for looseness or wear. Number 2. Check the radial runout. Number 3. Check the lateral runout. Number 4. Remove stones from the tread. Number 5. Remove grease or dirt buildup on the inside of the wheel. Number 6. Check for dragging or misadjusted brakes. Number 7. Check for loose or backward lug nuts. Number 8. Check for proper tire pressures. Number 9. Remove all of the old weights. And number 10. Check for bent or damaged wheel covers. Wheel weights. Purpose and function. The purpose and function of wheel weights is to correct any imbalance that can normally occur in a tire/wheel assembly. This imbalance can cause the wheels to hop when rotating, causing a vibration that is felt by the driver in the steering wheel, and often the entire vehicle, especially if the rear wheels are out of balance. Wheel weight materials. Lead was the most common material used for wheel weights until the early 2000s, when they started to be phased out due to environmental concerns of lead on the ground from lost wheel weights. Wheel balancing materials include lead, which is being phased out, stick-on and clip-on designs, zinc, stick-on and clip-on designs, steel, stick-on and clip-on designs, and thermoplastic polypropylene, high specific gravity plastic, stick-on only. Steel wheel weights are usually coated with a nylon or polyester type material that often matches the color of the aluminum wheels to prevent rust and corrosion of the steel. Clip-on wheel weights. Clip-on wheel weights must match the flange of the rim to fit properly. See Figure 115-29. See Chart 115-2 for the wheel rim flange shape for most vehicles. Refer to Chart 115-2. Wheel weight flange code chart for alloy wheels. Steel wheels require P-series for passenger cars or T-series for truck wheel weights deigned to fit the rim of steel wheels. Use a flange shape gauge before selecting the clip-on weights to make sure that they are correct for the vehicle. Refer to Figure 115-29. An assortment of wheel weights designed to fit different shape trims. Frequently asked question. Does MC mean most cars? Maybe. MC is the wheel flange shape that is used on most domestic alloy rims. The next most popular shape is a W, which is used on older GM, Ford, and Chrysler alloy rim, and then FN, which is used on many Acura, Honda, Nissan, and Toyota since about 1990. To be sure, always use a rim flange gauge to determine the exact shape before using clip-on wheel weights. See Figure 115-30. Stick-on wheel weights. Adhesive, or stick-on, wheel weights are used on the inside of the rim where they do not show. Stick-on weights come with an adhesive backing that is most often used on alloy wheels. See Figure 115-31. Most wheel weights come in 1/4 ounce increment. See Chart 115-3 for a conversion between ounces and grams. Use wheel weight pliers to help ensure proper installation and removal of wheel weights. See Figure 115-32. Frequently asked question. How much is too much weight? Whenever balancing a tire, it is wise to use as little amount of weight as possible. For most standard size passenger vehicle tires, most experts recommend that no more than 5.5 ounces of total weight be added to correct an imbalance condition. If more than 5.5 ounces total or more than 3 ounces on either side is needed, remove the tire from the wheel, or rim, and carefully inspect for damage to the tire or the wheel. If the tire still requires more than 5.5 ounces and the wheel is not bent or damaged, replace the tire. Refer to Figure 115-30. Figure A, Using a rim gauge can be a little tricky as the shape may appear to match several patterns on the rim gauge. This AW shape is not a good match. Figure B. Using the gauge shape for MC appears to be a perfect match to their rim flange. Wheel tire balancers. Bubble balancer. A bubble balancer is portable and can be easily stored away when not in use. It is also easy to use and is relatively inexpensive but not as accurate as a professional tire balancing machine. Computer balancer. The most popular type of tire balancer is the computer dynamic balancer. Computer balancers are designed to balance wheels and tires off the vehicle. Computer dynamic balancers spin the tire at a relatively slow speed, approximately 20 miles per hour. Sensors attached to the spindle of the balancer determine the amount and location of weights necessary to balance the tire statically and dynamically. All computer balancers must be programmed with the actual rim size and tire location for the electronic circuits to calibrate the required weight locations. Some computer balancers can perform loaded radial force and lateral force variation testing on the tire wheel assembly and display corrective actions. See Figure 115-33. Most computer balancers will be accurate to within 1/4 of an ounce, while some are accurate to within 1/8 ounce. Most drivers can feel an out of balance of 1 ounce or more, but few can feel a vibration caused by just 1/4 ounce. For sensitive drivers or vehicles used for high speeds, such as racing, most computer balancers can be programmed to balance within 1/8 ounce. Refer to the manufacturer's instructions for the exact capabilities and procedures for the balancer being used. Refer to Figure 115-31. Stick-on weights are used from the factory to balance the alloy wheels of this vehicle. Refer to Figure 115-32. Wheel weight pliers are specially designed to remove and install wheel weights. Refer to Chart 115-3. Ounces to grams conversion chart. Refer to Figure 115-33. A tire balancer that can also detect radial and lateral force variation and instruct the operator where to rotate the tire to achieve the best ride, or indicate a bent wheel. Case study. The vibrating Ford van. A technician was asked to solve a vibration problem on a rear-wheel drive Ford van. During a test drive, the vibration was felt everywhere: the dash, the steering wheel, the front seat, the shoulder belts, everything was vibrating. The technician balanced all four tires on a computer balancer. Even though wheel weights were put on all four wheels and tires, the vibration was even worse than before. The technician rebalanced all four wheels time after time, but the vibration was still present. The shop supervisor then took over the job of solving the mystery of the vibrating van. The supervisor balanced one wheel/tire assembly and then tested it again after installing the weights. The balance was way off. The supervisor broke the tire down and found about 1 quart, or 1 liter, of liquid in each tire. No wonder the tires couldn't be balanced. Every time the tire stopped, the liquid would settle in another location. The customer later admitted to using a tire stop leak liquid in all four tires. Besides stop leak, another common source of liquid in tires is water that accumulates in the storage tank of air compressors, which often gets pumped into tires when air is being added. All air compressor storage tanks should be drained of water regularly to prevent this from happening. See Figure 115-34. The summary. The complaint: customer complained of a vibration. The cause: the technician found stop leak liquid in all four tires. The correction: the stop leak was removed from all the tires and then they were rebalanced. The vibration issues were corrected. Caution: stop leak should never be used in a tire that is equipped with the TPMS sensor because the sensor can be damaged. Refer to Figure 115-34. Liquid tire stop leak was found in all four tires. This liquid caused the tires to be out of balance. Refer to Figure 115-35. A pin plate adapter that is designed to support the wheel tire assembly on a tire balancer instead of using a centering cone. Frequently asked question. When are pin plates used when tire balancing? Pin plates are often specified to attach a chrome clad wheel to the tire balancers to ensure an accurate balance. The chrome cladding is not removable or replaceable and has cladding tabs that extend into the wheel bore. Traditional high taper cones will come into contact with the cladding tabs rather than properly seat on the hub bore chamfer. Many recent aluminum wheel designs cannot be mounted with traditional cones. Most vehicle manufacturers recommend using a pin plate clamping method as the only way to properly center and protect clad wheels during the balance process. Most balance manufacturers have clad wheel packages along with standard cone mounting. Some national tire chains use only pin plates when balancing any wheel because they get better results and it eliminates some operator influence when using a cone in the center bore. See Figure 115-35. Refer to Figure 115-36. Figure A, a hub-centric plastic ring partially removed from an aftermarket wheel. Figure B, a hub-centric plastic ring left on the hub when removing a wheel. Frequently asked question. What are hub-centric wheels? Most wheels are designed to fit over and be supported by the axle hub. Some wheels use an enlarged center hub section and rely on the wheel studs for support and to keep the wheel centered on the axle. Some aftermarket wheels may be designed to fit several different vehicles. As a result, the wheel manufacturers use plastic hub-centric adapter rings. See Figure 115-36. Refer to Figure 115-37. A tire should only be repaired if the hole is within the tire puncture repair area. Do not make a repair that is located in the shoulder or belt edge part of the tire. If a tire is punctured outside of the area, the tire will require replacement. Tire repair. Acceptable location. Tread punctures, nail holes, or cuts up to 1/4 inch, or 2.6 mm, can be repaired only within the tire repair area. See Figure 115-37. Repairs should be done from the inside of the tire using plugs or patches. The tire should be removed from the rim to make the repair. With the tire off the wheel, inspect the wheel and the tire for hidden damage. Tire repair procedure. The proper steps to follow for a tire repair as follows. Step 1. Mark the location of the tire on the wheel. Step 2. Dismount the tire and use caution around the tire pressure monitoring system pressure sensor. Step 3. Inspect and clean the punctured area with a pre-buff cleaner. Do not use gasoline. Step 4. Buff the cleaned area with sandpaper or a tire buffing tool until the rubber surface has a smooth, velvet finish. Step 5. Ream the puncture with a fine reamer from the inside. Cut and remove any loose wire material from the steel belts. Step 6. Fill the puncture with contour filling material, and cut or buff the material flush with the inner liner of the tire. Step 7. Apply chemical vulcanizing cement and allow it to dry until it is no longer sticky. Step 8. Apply the patch and use a stitching tool from the center toward the outside of the patch to work any air out from between the patch and the tire. See Figure 115-38. Another excellent tire repair procedure uses a rubber plug. Pull the stem through the hole in the tire, as shown in Figure 115-39. Step 9. Remount the tire on the rim, aligning the marks made in Step 1. Inflate to the recommended pressure and check for air leaks. Step 10. Balance the wheel before reinstalling it on the vehicle. Note, most vulcanizing, rubber, cement is highly flammable. Use out of the area of an open flame. Do not smoke when making a tire repair. There are many tire repair products on the market. Always follow the installation and repair procedures exactly per the manufacturer's instructions. Warning. Most experts agree that tire repairs should be done from the inside. Many technicians have been injured and a few killed when the tire they were repairing exploded as a steel reamer tool was inserted into the tire. The reamer can easily create a spark as it is pushed through the steel wires of a steel-belted tire. This spark can ignite a combustible mixture of gases inside the tire caused by using stop leak or inflator cans. Since there is no way a technician can know if a tire has been inflated with a product that uses a combustible gas, always treat a tire as if it could explode. Refer to Figure 115-38. A stitching tool being used to force any trap tear out from under the patch. Refer to Figure 115-39. A rubber plug being pulled through a hole in the tire. The stem is then cut off flush with the surface of the tire tread. Tech tip. Open-end wrenches make it easier. Tire repair is made easier if two open-end wrenches are used to hold the beads of the tire apart. See Step 4 in the tire repair photo sequence. Tire mounting. Step by step. Step 1. A typical tire changing machine showing the revolving table and movable arm used to remove a tire from the wheel. Step 2. The foot pedal controls allow the service technician to break the tire bead, damp the wheel, rim, to the machine, rotate the tire wheel assembly, and still have both hands free. Step 3. Using a tire valve removal thule, unscrew the valve core using extreme caution because the valve is under pressure and can be forced outward and cause personal injury. Step 4. The valve core removed from the tire valve. Allow all of the air in the tire to escape. Step 5. A bead breaker is being used to separate the tire from the bead seat of the wheel. Repeat is needed to break the bead on both sides of the wheel. Step 6. After breaking the beads from both sides of the tire, install the wheel tire assembly flat onto the machine and, using the foot pedal control, lock the wheel to the changer. Step 7. To remove the tire from the wheel, position the arm of the changer against the rim of the wheel in locking position. Step 8. The tire thule, or flat bar, is placed between the bead of the tire and the wheel. Using tire lubricant can help prevent damage to the tire. Step 9. The foot pedal that causes the table to rotate is depressed and the tire is removed from the wheel. Step 10. Reposition the tire tool to remove the lower bead of the tire from the wheel. Step 11. As the table of the tire changer is rotated, the tire is released from the wheel and can be lifted off the wheel. Step 12. Before installing a tire, inspect and clean the bead seat. Step 13. Before installing a new tire, most experts recommend replacing the tire valve, being installed here, using a tool that pulls the valve through the hole in the wheel. Step 14. Apply tire soap or rubber lubricant to both beads of the tire. Step 15. Rotate the tire on the wheel and position the arm so that the tire will be guided onto the rim as the wheel is rotated. Step 16. Repeat for the upper bead. Step 17. Inflate the tire, being careful to not exceed 40 psi. Experts suggest that a tire be in a cage during the initial bead seating inflation to help prevent personal injury if the wheel or tire fails. Step 18. Install the tire valve core and inflate the tire to specifications. Tire repair. Step by step. Step 1. The source of the leak was detected by spraying soapy water on the inflated tire. Needle nose pliers are being used to remove the object that caused the flat tire. Step 2. A part of a razor blade was found to be the cause of the flat tire. Step 3. A reamer is being used to clean the puncture hole. Step 4. This technician is using two open-end wrenches to hold the tire beads apart if a tire bead spreader is not available. Step 5. The surrounding area is being buffed using an air-powered die grinder equipped with a special buffing tool specifically designed for this process. Step 6. After using a vacuum on all debris and rubber after buffing, apply rubber cement to the area. Step 7. The brush included with the rubber cement makes the job easy. Be sure to cover the entire area around the puncture. Step 8. Peel off the paper from the adhesive on the patch. Insert the tip of the patch through the puncture from the inside of the tire. Step 9. Use a pair of pliers to pull the plug of the patch through the puncture. Step 10. This view of the patch is from the inside of the tire. Step 11. To be assured of an airtight patch, the adhesive of the patch should be stitched to the inside of the tire using a serrated roller called a stitching tool. Step 12. A view of the plug from the outside of the tire after metal covering used to pierce the puncture is removed from the patch plug. The plug can be trimmed to the level of the tread using side cutters or a knife. Review questions. Question 1. What are the precautions and recommendations regarding tire maintenance? Question 2. What are the most commonly used tire rotation methods? Question 3. How are lateral and radial runout of wheels and tires checked? Question 4. What is the difference between static and dynamic balance? Question 5. Why is a pin plate used on some wheels when attaching it to a balancer? Chapter Quiz. Question 1. Proper tire inflation pressure information is found. A. On the driver's door or post. B. Under the hood on the VECI sticker. C. On the sidewall of the tire. D. Both A and B. Question 2. A tire is worn excessively on both edges. The most likely cause of this type of tire wear is A. Overinflation. B. Underinflation. C. Excessive radial runout. D. Excessive lateral runout. Question 3. Lug nuts should be evenly tightened in a what type of pattern? A. Linear. B. Star. C. Opposing. D. Random. Question 4. Tire replacement involves all of the following except A. Remove the air from the tire. B. Remove the TPMS sensor from the wheel. C. Remove the tire from the rim, or wheel. D. Install the tire on the rim, or wheel. Question 5. Using the modified X method of tire rotation on a front-wheel drive vehicle, where should be the left front wheel placed? A. Right front. B. Right rear. C. Left rear. D. Left front. Question 6. Which statement is false? A. Excessive radial runout can cause a tramp type vibration. B. Excessive lateral runout can cause a tramp type vibration. C. A tire out of balance dynamically can cause a shimmy type vibration. D. A tire out of balance statically can cause a tramp type vibration. Question 7. When seating a bead of a tire, never exceed what PSI? A. 30. B. 40. Circa 50. D. 60. Question 8. What lubricant should be used when mounting a tire? A. Silicon spray. B. Grease. C. Water-based soap. D. Say 10W30 engine oil. Question 9. A vehicle vibrates at highway speed. Technician A says that water in the tires could be the cause. Technician B says that an out-of-round tire could be the cause. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 10. A tire has a nail in the shoulder area. What should the technician do? A. Replace the tire. B. Repair the tire with a double patch. C. Repair the tire with a rubber plug. D. Install an inner tube. End of chapter 115.